Alison will now bring us this week's letters.
There was a packed and varied postbag this week. David Pett from Norwich wrote after he heard about the proposed closure of the Postwick Park and Ride. He's not amused. He says, I am writing with great concern about the possible closure of a crucial park and ride site by Norfolk County Council. This decision demonstrates a misguided focus on constructing new roads, the Norwich Western Link, rather than maintaining a service that effectively reduces car usage and alleviates traffic congestion. The park and ride service is not just an ordinary amenity, it offers an affordable and convenient alternative to driving into the city centre, resulting in fewer cars on the road and improved air quality. His closure would not only inconvenience users, but also discourage the use of sustainable transportation. Instead of solely focusing on financial considerations, it's imperative that the council recognises the urgent need to address climate change. By placing greater emphasis on sustainable transportation options, we can significantly reduce our carbon footprint and enhance public health. The closure of the park and ride site would not only be a disservice to Norfolk residents, but also hinder our progress towards a greener, more sustainable future. It's crucial that the council re-evaluates its priorities and explores alternative solutions that align with the urgent need to combat climate change.
Paul Lamb of Barton Turf read an opinion piece in the Evening News by Peter Franzen, who objected to people who take their dogs everywhere. He fully agrees with the columnist. Hats off to Peter Franzen for putting his head above the parapet and questioning the need for people to take their dogs everywhere with them. Like him, I am a lover of dogs, and I've been an owner for most of my life, but am now appalled by the way other people's animals are being allowed into previously prohibited areas, into completely inappropriate ones, and where the vast majority of people would not want to see them. Yesterday, I witnessed three dogs in John Lewis, and fortunately, unlike that seen by Peter, none were urinating, but two were barking. One poor lady nearby nearly jumped out of her skin. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a dog defecating in a busy London street, and the owner had nothing with him to clear it up, and the pile was left there that some poor unfortunate would eventually tread in. Who wants to hear and see incidents like these during a shopping trip? I certainly don't, and I'm sure nobody else does either. It really isn't fair, and it's being extremely inconsiderate of other people. If you're going to any populous area, leave your dog at home, in its kennel, or in the car. It would almost certainly be happier there anyway, rather than in what must be to them a totally strange, puzzling and intimidating environment.
Mike Josefiak of Hungate Street near Aylsham congratulates St John's Care Home in Norwich. He says it's a proud day for a care home. Congratulations to St John's House Care Home in Norwich for their care awards. It was warming to read the kind words that management had to say about their staff. However, they were being a little too modest. As everyone knows, a good organisation starts with the attitude and examples of those at the top, and politicians take special note. For without good leadership and example, nothing good trickles down to those on the front line doing the dirty work. I've never heard of management being inspired to do greater things by their staff. If so, then their roles and salaries should have been reversed. Both management and staff at St John's should be equally proud of each other.
Our last three letters all reflect the ongoing controversy about building work in Norwich. Richard Shepherd of Grove Lane in Holt wants to avoid repeating what he describes as the forum mistake. By involving the award-winning development of Goldsmith Street, Dr. Henrietta Billings sent a shaft of tranquil sunlight into the forbidding shadows of Anglia Square. I speak as one old enough to remember the peaceful days in my native Higham, when horse-drawn vehicles still brought wood and green groceries to the streets of that part of Old Norwich, and anything that serves to put an environmental break or pause on the grim nature of what is called progress is a refreshing comfort to me. But what awaits us in Anglia Square? Though not as sombre as Sovereign House in Anglia Square, the Millennium Forum in the centre of Norwich is not a happy cohabitation of the new with the old. The forum dwarfs the Church of St. Peter Mancroft instead of harmonising with it. It's a challenging proposition to produce something which is meaningful and at the same time is reposeful. 12 centuries of Norwich's history, however, should serve as a summons for the inspiration to create that blend of old and the new, which will make Anglia Square a timeless credit for Norwich and its region.
The leader of Norwich City Council has written that the collapse of the plan to redevelop Anglia Square is a terrible blow for the city, with the loss of jobs, the new homes and the economic regeneration that would come with redevelopment of the derelict site. Quite right. But could this be an opportunity for a complete rethink? The East of England has no international conference centre. Norwich has no indoor arena suitable for major entertainment events, and there is no concert hall of international standard and no central hotel with a real ballroom. Imagine such a venue in the heart of Norwich. We're no metropolis like Manchester, Birmingham, Liverpool or Glasgow with their amazing conference centres, but nor is Brighton, Harrogate or Blackpool, which all have such facilities. But then we all know that Norwich is a fine city with much to be proud of. So why not Norwich to host international, academic, professional and political conferences? And maybe one day even the Eurovision Song Contest.
Ken Ewing of Bordswell wants to see developers obeying the rules. Further to Sean Marriott's letter, referring to Keith Skipper's calling for a revolt over lack of affordable housing, there is, in my opinion, a simple solution to this matter. Although councils and government do not like to keep matters simple. When rules are made for the percentage of affordable housing, make it a legal requirement for the developers to stick to the rules. If they pay too much for the land, it's down to them. They seem to know at the moment that they can get away with a reduced number. There is a huge increase in the value of land when a landowner obtains planning, agricultural land at approximately £10,000 per acre, to development land at £250,000 plus per acre. If the developer did do his due diligence, there should be no problems. For developers to claim a site is not viable should not be an excuse. Rules should be obeyed.